am just so thankful you're here. What I'd like to do is to pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come and be with us as if we were sitting together in a room having a conversation. Now, I know that I can't hear back what you're saying, but your comments are powerful and they meet the needs of the people who are watching. So please comment and then I will get back to that. We're going to pray. Holy Spirit, thank you that you come and just breathe on us in this place. Father, we are so glad to be your people called by your name, that out of deep darkness your light has shone, and your word says that you have been the light that gives us light. I've been feasting on that word all day, Lord, thinking about your light being light in us. So we ask that you would come and shine brightly in these few minutes that we have together, that Holy Spirit, you would teach us and that you would reveal to us the great love of God to us. Jesus, we thank you that you came, you died for us, and that you live again, and that because you live, we also live. We praise you and we glorify you. Amen. We are going to be walking through my intent for this series, and I have no idea, because if you track with me, there are so many encounters with Jesus, right? And each one of them told a little bit by a different perspective. Most of the time here in the beginning, we're going to be in the book of Luke and in the book of Matthew, because those are the early encounters. Mark really starts at Jesus' baptism. John starts when Jesus is in ministry. So we're going to be living and breathing in the early parts of Matthew and Luke for a couple of weeks. Now, we are going to start out, as I said, in Luke chapter 1, and we are starting at kind of an interesting little spot. We're in verses 39 through 45, and I'm going to read this. I'm reading it out of the New King James Version. Now, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice. Don't you just love that? She spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Now, I'm thinking, I personally have not ever heard a message preached about having an encounter with the Lord Jesus that started when Mary was still pregnant and Elizabeth was pregnant. And there was no way, outside of a prophetic dream or something like that, that Elizabeth had any idea that Mary was pregnant. Elizabeth, in this miraculous sense of the power of God, had become pregnant. She was hiding herself away, waiting until the baby could, I think, you know, for whatever reason, she was kind of hiding herself away. You could have all kinds of speculation about that. But here comes Mary, because Mary is told by the angel, your cousin Elizabeth is also pregnant. And so she went to see her. And I see this kind of tracking as we think about the Old Testament, the New Testament, the law and grace coming in. We see this often in the Gospels, where something old is in presence and fullness, and then we see that this new kingdom of God, which Jesus preached, is coming to the forefront. And we know that John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets. He was, even though he's in our New Testament, we know he was in the last of the Old Testament prophets. And part of the prophecy was that from the womb, he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happens here in my reading of this is that when Jesus came on the scene, the Holy Spirit came and filled Elizabeth, filled John, and this encounter has taken place. So I love this picture about this leaping baby and this quickening of Elizabeth in her womb, the quickening of John, and this word leaped. This is so fun. This is such a great word. It means to sympathetically move, and it says as of a baby in the womb, or to skip, and that it is so much more than just a reflex action. You know, it is something that was intentionally going on, and we have here this powerful movement when John in the womb recognized the presence of Jesus, that his entire being leapt with joy at the coming of the Messiah. It's hard to imagine. I mean, there are so many things in there. And I'm not going to go into political or realms about births and abortion and things like that. I think you would probably know how I feel about that. But there is this recognition in this unborn baby at 6 months in the womb of a baby about 3 months in the womb. And I know it's supernatural, but hey, you know, isn't all of it. And I want us to look at 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 16, because something in my study, I was so excited about this particular part of this as I began to think about this leaping. I began to think about King David and how he would leap and dance. And so you know this story. We're in 2 Samuel chapter 6, starting in verse 16. And my light's a little funny, so I'm crawling in here so I can get to the page, the verses. Now, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, so let's catch that. It's the presence. The ark was the representation, the presence of the Lord coming into the city of David. Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had blessed all the people in the name of the Lord, had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts, the Lord's mighty armies. Ugh. Then he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both the women and the men, to everyone a loaf of bread, Jesus, the bread of life, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. So they're having this joyful party and celebration at the presence of the Lord. And David is dancing, the music is playing, there's cymbals going. It is this joyful celebration at the coming of the presence of the Lord. Then David went home to bless his own household, even as he had blessed the people of Israel. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." And I love this. So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people, over the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor." Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. Makes me believe that, you know, one of two things. Either David didn't have any kind of relationship with her. We know that she ended up being with another man. But that what we see there is that her unwillingness to celebrate brought barrenness to her. But we can see here in Elizabeth's declaration is that there is this fulfillment and there is life and there is joy and there is celebration for the ones who will believe the Lord and worship Him and choose to have an encounter with Him. So here's kind of the challenge in this is asking ourselves, what is our response then when we are in the presence of the Lord? Are we joyfully celebrating? Now, people who know me know I'm a big crier. So it's really easy for me when the presence of the Lord is in a room that I can really begin to weep and to cry. What a lot of people who know me now don't know about me, and some of you who may be watching this know me from other days in the faith, is that I have historically been a big dancer and a big leaper. And I think that has something to do with the environment that you're in, and I'm not saying that that makes me so wonderful, but one of the things I love is when the presence of the Lord comes and He shifts the atmosphere so that we are not nervous, we are not embarrassed, and what happens is we are so overcome with who He is that we don't care. David said, I will be even more undignified with this. And we have Elizabeth, when she felt the presence of the Lord touch her body and her baby leap in the womb, it says that she spoke out in a loud voice. She wasn't whispering. She was saying, oh, no, look, oh my goodness, the mother of my Lord has come to see me. Why has this happened? She's just overwhelmed and encouraged by all of that. And so there is this thing about this that really, what happened for me when I first began thinking about this is I learned some of these scriptures in the old King James or the regular King James, where it says that the babe was quickened in her womb. And it recalled to me a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about who Jesus is. And it says in the King James Version, because it's talking about that death came by the first Adam, but that the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. A quickening spirit. And so then I start thinking about the places where I'm not experiencing fruitfulness, where maybe there's barrenness in my life in some areas. And the question becomes for me then, am I inviting the presence of the Lord to come in and breathe on that and quicken me in those places? Most of the times, I think you might agree with me that we live our lives day to day just doing the things we always do. We have our routine. So when I'm doing great and I'm in my exercise mode, I'm doing all of those kind of things. Then I'm up. I get my exercise clothes on. I'm out at the track. I'm walking. I'm home. I'm reading my Bible. I'm doing my journaling. I'm taking my shower. And I can maybe be, I'm obviously when I'm reading the Bible and doing my journal, I'm thinking of the Lord. And when I'm walking, I'm out there. But would I recognize an encounter with the Lord if He showed up in my regular routine? Would I be ready for Him to step in on the scene when I had not planned it and to be able to do something and speak life into an area that has been barren in my life? Because Jesus is a life quickening. He is the one who brings life to us. I want us to think about a handful of things that we can see here. That in Luke chapter 1, what we know is that there was prophetic utterance in the Old Testament that there would be a forerunner that would come before the Lord and He would make straight the way of the Lord. And so we see then that John the son, we call him John the Baptist or John the Baptizer, but in this moment, he was in the hearts of people. He was just John, the baby of Zacharias and Elizabeth. They didn't know the prophetic call or utterance over him. But when Jesus came and whenever that baby encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, that prophetic fulfillment began to take shape and take place. We know that Zacharias had the prophetic word. We know that he knew. We know that Elizabeth knew. But there was this moment when he was a baby in the womb and when he began to walk in the fulfillment of that prophetic call. And that was because of an encounter with the Holy One. So is there a place, and I want to ask this carefully because we know that there are a lot of people out there prophesying. They're just speaking things out of their own fleshly spirit, out of their, some of them out of a desire to do good, and some of them out of just foolishness. But prophecy is true, and prophecy is real, and there is, God has spoken over all of us in our life. He has crafted us individually. He's crafted us uniquely. He has brought us carefully together in the way that he wants, and he has spoken his word over us. So in the presence of Jesus, when we have an encounter with him, it can unlock and unleash these prophetic calls and utterances from the Lord over our life. So when we're thinking about over the next few days about an encounter with the Lord, is there, you know that you know that you know, in the Christian vernacular, you know that there is a prophetic utterance over your life. Have you gone into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you gone into the presence of the Lord and had an encounter with him that is activating that prophetic promise over your life? It's something to think about in the next 24 hours when you're setting before the Lord. There's something else. Where do you need, and I've asked this, where do you need a quickening encounter with the Lord? Is it in your mind, in your emotions, in your body, in your job, in your finances, in your relationships? Where do you need an encounter with the Lord to come in and shift everything? Elizabeth and Zacharias were good, godly, holy people. Mary was a teenage girl betrothed to a good, godly Jewish man. The Lord stepped into the middle of their lives and shifted everything in that encounter. Everything shifted. And when we have an encounter with Jesus like that, nothing is the same. One thing that we need to remember in this, and it was a conversation I had earlier today, was that we are not what we were before. When we are born again, the Lord is birthing into us a brand new creation. A brand new creation. And his word is on us then to fulfill what he has called us to do. In the general call of being a Christian, we can read that, Matthew and Mark, we can read all through the scripture, but there is also that within us because we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he created in advance for us to do. So are we going into his presence and asking the Lord to quicken those life-giving things in us? Where is the place, and think about this, where is a place when you have operated in joy and victory and danced before the Lord, whether physically or emotionally, or you've been so caught up in joy for the Lord and someone has ridiculed you for that? And what was your response in that? Has it hindered you? Has it hindered me? Has it caused us to step back? Or can we be like David and say, hey, you know, if you think that was something, wait till you see me. The question is there a place of repentance where it would be good for you to look at maybe some places where you have not believed the word of the Lord? Maybe you haven't chosen his ways. Maybe there are places where you need to really just go before him and repent and say, Lord, I didn't believe your word. that I want to be like this woman that Elizabeth said over Mary, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Do we need to repent and turn and believe the word of the Lord? And that can be for something to move us forward, or maybe we've been disobedient in a place where the Lord has told us to choose to do something and act in a particular way, and we haven't. But, you know, repentance is agreeing with the Lord about what he says and changing our ways. It's not, I've been reading a guy, I love his work, it's Jamie Winship, he said, and he was a police officer, and he said they would arrest people, and people would make confession, and that's not, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. You know, confession and repentance is, this is what I did, and I want to change my ways. And so we bring that before God like that. And then this prayer, which has become really powerful for me in my everyday life, and there's three parts of it. So you can come back and listen to this, write it down. I'll say it twice. So maybe if you're taking notes, you can grab this. First, Lord, what have I believed about you that is not the truth? Lord, what have I believed about you that is not the truth? Number two, what am I believing about myself that is hurting me? What am I believing about myself that is hurting me? And what am I believing about myself and my relationship with you that is not true? Because if we have a wrong understanding of who God is, and a wrong understanding of who we are, and a wrong understanding of what God thinks about us, then it trips us up and keeps us from believing that God is really moving us forward in life. Now, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to talk about, of course, my new book. And I'm just going to talk about that for a minute. But just if anybody is not aware of that, I want to make sure they're aware of that. So I want to pray over you and pray over for those who would be listening tonight, maybe at a different time. So, Father, I just thank you that your word is true, that Jesus, you are the life-quickening spirit, and we can't help but have life come to us when we have an encounter with you. We can't help but have new life and new strength and new hope and new help when we have an encounter with you. Lord, we want to carefully hear you. What are you saying to us? What are you saying about us? What kind of encounters do you want to invite us into tomorrow, tonight, in the next 24 hours, in the next 24 days? Help us to see and to be aware and to be looking for where you are showing up so that we can have a true encounter with you. Because we know, Lord, that it's not just our lives that are changed when we have an encounter with you, but it is everybody that we come in contact then with begins to reap the benefit of the transformation that you're bringing in our life. And we are then able to share with the people we know, we love, with the people we don't know, with the people we don't love, that there is a God in heaven who loves them and wants to have a relationship with them. And so, Father, I just pray right now, if there's anyone listening to this that has never reached out to have a relationship with you, that they would do that today, in this moment. They would say, Lord, would you please speak to me and show me your presence? And Holy Spirit, that you would just come on them and touch them, and that they would feel the presence of God in a way that maybe they've never felt it before. And for all of us, that we would know the presence of the Lord in a new and powerful and strong and activating way. That we would walk in the fullness of God in these days, because people need you, Lord. They need you. And I'm so thankful for you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And thank you for pursuing us and loving us and not letting us go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I do want to share with you, I'm going to see if I can get this up here working the way that I practiced it. You know, we practice a little bit. Let me see if I can do this. Ta-da! I've got this over there, and this is my new book about the hostage heart, his hostage heart, that Jesus has come. God has been pursuing us from the foundations of the earth, that he hungers and yearns for us. And I would love to encourage you and invite you to go over to my website at donnawollum.com /order and see more about it. It is a memoir where I talk about my encounters with the Lord and about how he has transformed my life. And I just want to encourage you, if you have any questions about, to come back and ask me about that, and to let's talk about it and see if it's something that would be helpful for you. And I'll come back over here. Thank you so much for being with me tonight. And if this has been a blessing to you, I pray that you would share it with your friends and your family here on social media.